This is the B-Team Podcast. A daily recap of what you missed this morning on Mississippi Superstar Country Kinks 96,
a Boswell Media station.
Join us here for behind-the-scenes information, exclusive show content, and more. Listen live at kinks96news.com.
To become a sponsor, appear as a guest on the show, or for more information, contact them at bteampodcastms@gmail.com.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Brian Bemo Montgomery.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Rick Riley.
Don't everybody thank me at once.
This is the B-Team Podcast.
The B-Team Podcast.
We're here.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event.
It's the B-Team Podcast. We thank you so much for tuning in today. If you are our first-time listener, we appreciate it. We love you to pieces. Make sure you spread the word. Tell a friend. I'm telling you, we can't thank you enough for what you do. If you are familiar with the B-Team Podcast and familiar with Mississippi Superstar Country Kicks 96, or Central Mississippi for that matter, boy, are you in for a shot, because it was a year ago today that the hot tag was made. Yours truly stepped in for an icon here in Central Mississippi. I'm talking about Lolly Dude, and today's B-Team Podcast is going to spotlight him, his career, both in and out of the ring, in and out of the studio, and in and out of the pizza oven. What line is he on? Three? Oh, this is going to be fun.
Yo.
I'd ask what you were doing, but I'm sure it's something illegal. You hear that laugh?
Now, why would you assume that?
Well, it depends on what state you're in. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Well, we're legal here.
He's in a state of inebriation. That's what state he's in.
Yeah.
Thank you.
One toke over the line, sweet Jesus.
Yeah, it is. Going to the racetrack. My friend rode in Butch. We went from Jersey last night, and we got homecoming this weekend, but today we're riding down to Delta Downs, and we're going to be degenerate gamblers.
You say today you're going to be degenerate gamblers. Like, that's different than any other day.
I was saying, what's the difference?
Well, I'm going to spend $3 instead of, 10 cents a race. I'm going to up to 30 cents,
phrase. Big spender.
Money bags over here.
Yeah, I'm going all out.
Uh-huh.
I spend more gas in a program than I do betting.
Well, if you don't know that voice, you ain't from around these parts. Lolly Dude hanging out with us. I was sitting there, I was thinking of like BBD. If we were the Fabulous Freebirds, you would have to be P.S. Hayes, which would leave us to be Buddy Roberts and Mr. Gordy. Who would be Bam Bam?
Well, see, I don't know. I guess I would have to be Bam Bam, dude, because I'm the only one that can Bam Bam, you know what I mean?
Because you know how to take the bumps, baby. You know how to take the bumps.
Yeah. Well, that was Bam Bam's thing, Michael ran his mouth, and Carrie and Buddy took the bumps. You might have to be Michael there, Bino.
You think so?
I might have to go be Buddy.
For those of you that don't know, the dude, Lolly, has been an icon in Central Mississippi for years. I mean, Brother Breck, and I'm not trying to make you feel old, but Brother Breck was talking about his influences, as far as getting into radio, and he said that you were one of his growing up. Let's talk about when you first got to Central Mississippi. What was that all about? How was that for you? Because when I got here, it was an eye-opener, because I was everywhere I wanted to be.
Central Mississippi hit me at the right place at the right time. I was living in Jackson and on the plane all the time, and I liked being in Jackson. I didn't want to live in Florida or New York or one of those. It was still the country, so Jackson was great, but I got tired of the city, and I had a month off, and I booked a bunch of shows around Mississippi, and I came to Kosciuszko, and because it had a Coliseum, and I went and met James Nunn, who was running the Coliseum, and hey, I want to rent it and do this wrestling show and everything. And we need to go see Johnny Boswell at the radio station. And I headed down to the radio station and met Johnny Boswell, and we promoted a show. And I think I'd moved to Kosciuszko like 6 weeks later.
It has an effect on it, don't it? Came down here on a Thursday to interview and was moved here by Wednesday. So it definitely pulls you in.
A year ago, you were here like on a Tuesday, and we cruised around and everything. And the next day, the 28th, it was yours.
I'll never forget that.
Oh, my gosh, you killed it, brother. Station of the Year. Boy, when I got that call, I was a happy man.
No, dude.
Thought, oh, my goodness, brother. He's taking it to a new level.
Well, that's the one thing I promised you I'd do. I promised you that. You told me. You said, I'm going to hand you the reins, baby. So tell me a little bit about Lolly Dude Pizza. How did Lolly Dude Pizza come up? Because I still see the signs in the pens.
Yeah, well, Carolyn was in the restaurant business and had a restaurant in Jackson. And she was a manager at Red Hot and Blue, a big barbecue joint. And so once I moved out of the hotel, because when I first came to Kosciuszko, she was still in Jackson, and I lived in the hotel and everything 5 days a week. And then I'd get off the air on Friday morning and go catch a plane and wrestle and be back on Monday. But everybody, they were complaining about Pizza Hut and how bad it was and everything. And I knew how to make pizza, and I'd worked at a pizza joint and had extensive knowledge of New York pizza and being up on the East Coast. And I said, you know, let's do pizza. And got a partner, and we opened up, and Carolyn quit and came up and ran it. And, you know, for a long time, we had, it was just a little old bank drive through. You know, it was just unbelievable. Little bitty building. we opened up at 4 in the afternoon and closed at 9, 10 on the weekends, and delivered all over Kosciuszko. And then we moved into a bigger, you know, and boy, that's when your headaches start.
Well, we had gone to Pizza Hut one afternoon for lunch. It was funny because they had just opened a buffet, you were saying?
Yeah, they did after COVID. You know, they didn't do it during COVID and everything, but they reopened the buffet.
And he was talking about, you know, where your location was. And B, you were talking about some of the pizzas. What were some of your favorites?
Oh, of course, the main event was the big one. And then that's just basically a pizza like every known topping demand. And then like that Cajun beef or Cajun sausage pizza. What was it, Lolly?
Yeah, it was the beef and the sausage. We mixed it together,
yeah.
And then we used and they still have it. And we used it on everything. That was the taste. It was Paul Prudhomme's Pizza Magic, hot and sweet. They have two. They have an herbal one, which isn't very good, but it's Paul Prudhomme's Pizza and Pasta Magic. And you take that and you can get it on Amazon or whatever, and you sprinkle it like on your pasta, and we'd take it and put it in with the beef and the pork and mix it together. That was one of the things about the pizza. We had a great big bowl, metal steel bowl, and so we had mixed it like on the pizza. We'd dump everything, including the cheese, into a bowl, and then we'd mix it all up and then put it on top of the pizza where it was mixed evenly across the board. And that's how we'd put the Cajun seasoning in there. Well, that was a good pie. That was my favorite.
That's that coon ass coming out of it. I mean, put it all in the pot there. Just mix it up.
That's it. But that's why the cheese and everything melted, and it all was that certain way.
It's the bunkie coming out of him.
That was the secret. See, I'm giving out the Lolly Dude secret.
Oh, those cheese sticks and that sauce were good, too.
Yeah, well, the only person that knows the sauce recipe is Melissa Boswell. I gave it to her. She paid big money for that a long time ago. She
wrote him a check
and
for it.
She got it written down in a secret recipe in a vault deep in the annals of Boswell Media that will never be seen again.
I mean, there's a safe right over here under this thing. I wonder if it's in here. There's a safe right here, but like 2 feet away from me.
Oh my God! Now let's talk about the main event as far as coming to Kix 96, because you. I'll tell you something. It is not unusual for me to go somewhere and have somebody say, so you stepped in for Lolly. I said, yes, the tag was made, as we like to say.
The hot tag.
Yeah, the hot tag.
That's it. But, it was a hot tag too, buddy.
But let's talk about the main event. I mean, because before coming here, for those of you who don't know, he, much like my own moniker, growing up, of course, today is Charlie Daniels' birthday. Rest in peace, Uncle Charlie. If it hadn't been for Uncle Charlie walking out of that bus and smearing in the rain the words B period Montgomery, and all he had left was BMO. If it hadn't been for Tommy Lee from Motley Crue, there'd be no Lolly Dude. Tell that story for everybody.
It was so organic that it just happened like that. And I was just... I had tried all kinds of things, man. I was Ed Lawrence for a while. Since my real name is Edwin Lawrence, I tried Ed Lawrence, and I tried all kinds of stuff. But I was just like, Lolly, that was it. He had it was a Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses, and we were in the limo riding around doing some stuff. We were making a couple of supplies. Like, had Tommy Lee in the limo. We were going out and giving tickets. Like, we were going to take the limo and go park somewhere and do a break on the radio because we had a brand new thing called a cell phone. That was this big thing in a bag, and you could plug it into the cigarette lighter, dude, and make phone calls. Can you believe that?
Wow.
So the bag phone.
We had the cell phone, and we're riding around with concert tickets, and we're doing breaks, and Tommy Lee's hanging out the window, the first people that are pulling up and giving away tickets.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to different parts of Jackson and stuff. Peter Christian, God rest his soul, a great Jackson radio dude, was on the radio, and we were doing the break, and Tommy's running his mouth with Peter or whatever. He goes, "Hey, man, hold on. I got people. Let me give the phone back to this Lolly Dude guy." And the people in the limo went, "Lolly Dude," and Peter Christian went, "Lolly Dude," and then I was Lolly Dude. I'm like, "Okay, I'll take it." I mean, you know,
I call him Crybaby Buxton.
Thank you. I am not a crybaby.
Crybaby Buxton.
I am the roughest, toughest human being to ever walk the face of the wrestling ring.
The two of us have paralleled each other from wrestling to the rock format, the country format, the Tommy Lee, the Charlie Daniels story. Can you explain why you never take your wife and or girlfriend to a Motley Crue concert? Did you ever have one of those experiences?
I do have the classic ones, though, is being while I was tour managing and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And where Lillian was out, I think we were on a big tour. That's what they said. Some of that stuff's a blur. You don't remember where you... People say, "How could you not know that it's Tuesday and you're in Chicago?" Well, it's easy.
Especially when the days roll into each other.
Yeah, how many times at Lillian Axe, we were on big tours, and, you know, it'd be 5 in the morning, and the bus is parked somewhere, and you hear somebody knocking at the door, and it's somebody's husband or boyfriend or father. "Hey, is Allison there?" And I'd have to walk back through the bunk here and go, "Is there an Alice? Is there an Alice? Alice? Is there an Alice?" And calling you here, "Yes." I said, "Oh, your husband, or your boyfriend, or your dad." The best one was when it was their dad. I'd go, "How old are you?" And they'd say, after that happens 10 or 15 times, you implement a driver's license check before they step on the bus.
And you know what, though? When you're in this type of work, whether you're a professional wrestler or radio personality or you're playing in a band, they all kind of resemble each other. Because when you're in a major market, especially with a classic rock and country format, parties seem to occur on the frequent. And you'll look at the clock and go, "Uh-oh, what time you got to be at work? I got to be on the air in 2 hours.
I just stay up."
Oh, yeah. You just power through it. When you look back, though, do you got any favorite moments from your time here at Kix? Other than walking by Breck's studio and flipping him off every morning? The first time I saw you do that, I'm thinking to myself, "Oh, my God, what am I walking into?"
Last year when Mississippi State beat the pants off of LSU, we had a lot of fun.
Thank you.
If you see BMO smiling, yeah, he's probably thinking of doing something bad. If he's laughing, he probably already has. BMO in the morning, weekdays on Mississippi's Superstar Country, Kix 96.
It's the B-Team Podcast. We thank you so much for hanging out with us again. If it's your first time joining us, we appreciate it. Make sure you spread the word. Brother Breck, this makes the ultimate Christmas present because you can give this and it costs you how much?
Nothing. It's free.
So you can check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We appreciate you wherever you are, whether you're in Germany. We're working on Australia right now. Wherever you are, we thank you so much for listening again. Check out theBTeamPodcast.com.
We should make cards where it looks like it's like a subscription to a service. It's like, "Hey, we bought you a subscription to the B-Team
podcast." Yes, we could do that
Put it in people's stocking stuffers.
Yes, we could do that shit. That would be so cool. Of course, the man, the myth, the legend, the icon, Lolly Dude, joining us on the podcast today, taking time out of his, what is it, reunion we got going on?
Yeah, it's homecoming back at where I went to school, and, you know, I am president of the Fraternity Alumni Association, so, yeah, my buddy Butch, we got elected that last 2 years ago, we had that meeting, I was elected president, you know, I'm going to probably get reelected.
Well, let's talk about life in the squared circle, because growing up, especially in the South, it was all about Georgia championship wrestling from Florida, Mid-South, world class back in the day. Let's talk about some of the territories where you've worked. I mean, you even went up north and had the chance to get together with McMahon.
Dude, I'm the worst wrestler to ever make a living wrestling. I mean, that's the bottom line. I was so lucky because I'm 1,000 times better on the microphone. I was a really good referee. I knew how to promote. So the actual, the wrestling part, Terry Taylor told me, because you're terrible in the ring, so learn everything else. And that's what I did. I learned how to run a camera. I learned to set up the ring. I popped popcorn. We made hot dogs. I wrestled. I tore the ring. That, you know what I mean? You did it all.
Oh, yeah.
And I learned every job, ringing the bell. And I think that made me able to pass in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the time, you know, I did mass gimmicks where I went out and got smashed to pieces. And other times, like when I became like Crybaby, well, that's a whole different, it's like a big midget. You know, you don't have to do, you know, you're out there to do comedy.
Right.
It's a whole different thing than a first blood Indian death match, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, people get this conception that it's, you know, it's glamorous, and man, you're getting there, you're helping set up the ring, you're part of that ring crew, you get that done, then it's whatever lights need to be done, you're doing sound checks, the old back in the day when we would actually hang posters. I can tell you, I've spent more time doing that I care to remember, but when you look back at some of the people that you had the opportunity to work with, whether it was either, you know, calling their match or, you know, actually having the chance to, you know, work with as far as wrestling goes, who were some of your favorites?
Well, my favorites like that, you know, I look back and it's Tommy Rogers and Bobby Fulton, the Fantastics, Terry Taylor, Dr. Best Steve Williams. Those are the guys in the beginning
mm-hmm.
that took an interest in me, because I was on the radio. We were all they were living in the Mid-South, in Alexandria, which was the middle of the Mid-South territory, and they were all listening to me on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And we became friends, and I'd get off the air at 10 and go to the gym, and that's when they'd be getting to the gym. And then I started riding with them, and by that time the Mississippi thing commenced, and I came over there. Well, the people in Mississippi thought I was already a big shot. I was nobody. I hadn't even gotten in the ring really good. But because I'm pulling up to the show with Tommy Rogers and Bobby or Terry Taylor or Doc, you know, mm-hmm. you're thinking, oh, God, he's important.
Hey.
So all the Mississippi guys treated me great. And that's where I met Dean Pegg, who was Gene Lewis in the ring, and later became the Mongol. And then he was Hillbilly Cousin Luke in the WWF with Hillbilly Jim, Cousin Luke, and Uncle Elber. He was Cousin Luke. And Mr. Nasty, Kenny Massey.
Mm-hmm.
In Vicksburg, and those were my running buddies, because by the time I got to Mississippi, everybody was starting to move away.
Right.
And, Texas was breaking up, and Mid-South and UWF was breaking up. Some people were moving back to Florida, and Doc moved back to Shreveport. Wrestling was so, you know, talking about glamorous, and this is true. You know, I went on a European trip one time, and it was we were in first class hotels and, you know, first class on the plane. We had a 2-story bus traveling with our names all over our pictures, going through Europe, a referee on that tour. And I went on a 30-minute TV show on Eurosport and talked about wrestling and the rules of professional wrestling like it was legitimate. And the guy's talking to me in whatever German or whatever language, and then he had something out of the earpiece, and they're translating it to me, what he said, and I'd say it, and he'd hear him go, I'll go back to him.
I was going to ask you, did you ever get a chance to roll up into the Memphis territory and have the chance to work up there with Lawler and company, or no?
A little bit, yeah. Once I realized that I was not going to be able to be a big star,
mm-hmm.
actually in the ring, I started thinking, man, I can make a lot more money. You know, if I had 2 shows just in Mississippi every weekend and ran 8 shows a month, well, I mean, you make a pretty good living.
Right.
So I would book the big tours, like a European tour for 6 weeks or Middle East, wherever, you know, wherever going. And then you'd know for the year, you'd book the tours, and you'd know you'd take this month. And so I'd bring my friends in. I'd bring Terry Taylor back, and you know, heck, we did the TV at the casino.
Right.
We do the show. The show gets hot. We can tell because everywhere we're going, we're packing the places out. And I've got great storylines. Everything's working. And the ratings come out in all the markets that we that were rated at the time. And we won our time slot in every market.
Wow. Did you have the pencil? Were you booking or no?
Yeah, I was everything. Me and Cousin Luke and Cowboy Johnny Mantell and Cedric, we taught him how to do. Mm-hmm. You know, he was in there with us.
Everyone who watches swears they can play Booker. I cannot tell you, and I'm sure you'll agree, the biggest headache in the world is holding that pencil. Because you got to come up with a storyline. You're trying to do what's quote-unquote best for business, which I'm shocked they haven't trademarked yet. But holding that pencil is not the glamorous job everybody thinks it is.
No, it's hard. That was the thing. We had such a... It was another one of those organic situations where myself, Cuz, and Johnny Mantell were all in sync because we all rode together all the... You know what I mean? We do.
Right.
We were all best friends, and we brought Cedric in. And Cedric, you know, was... He was a young guy, and he was just learning.
Right.
You know, so, but we didn't have any egos with each other. Oh, you're better friends with Kirk than I am, or you're better friends with Terry. So we would call and use our, you know, hey, buddy, we need, you know.
Right.
And we were able to make it, and we were taking young guys and bringing the Terry Taylors and the Dr. Death in to make our young guys. We had Marcus Dupree, he was breaking in, and we brought Dr. Death in to do the Oklahoma gimmick with him and wrestle with him and, you know, try to help Marcus along. And, I mean, that was the whole idea for that first year or so, to use these big stars to get the Cedrics and the Marcuses and that to where we could make them big stars, and then we would be off and running.
I know that the funny story you always tell me was the one about overseas with the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, my gosh. I got nothing bad to say about Jim. I knew him when he and Sting first came to Mid-South. They lived in our apartment complex and worked out at Ricky's. He was back there when I was breaking in, too. And I got never a bad thing to say about him. I could see where other people, I was just lucky. That was back to that guy. I'm just a lucky guy that people like those guys just ended to like me. So he's already held up the promoter. Now, this was a couple, 2 or 3 week tour. And I think Warren had already gotten a couple, 200 or 300 grand for the tour up front. There were some gigs he would ride the bus to. He'd sit by himself up in the front of the bus. And I'd go up and talk to him on something. But he was private training a lot of it. He didn't like wrestling. He wasn't into it like all the rest of us. We loved what he was doing. He was just trying to get a check.
Right.
So he'd already held the promoter up on this tour a couple of times because the gates went up, Kirk got in trouble and was on the front page of newspapers across Europe. So we were selling out every night. So that last night we were in Vienna and here we are and we get to the building. It's freaking sold out. I don't know how many people it sold. It was a big, like at least 20,000, you know, marina in the middle of Vienna. It was packed to the gills. And we're supposed to start the show. I was dressing in the dressing room with Kim, Jake, Greg the Hammer Valentine, and me. And the promoter is in there fighting with Warrior because Warrior's holding him up for another 100 grand. He ain't gonna go out. Well, about that time, the opening match was gonna be the two guys who became public enemy,
right?
Ted Petty and Mike Durham, who was Rocco Rock and Johnny Grunge.
Right.
They were the opening match against each other. And they were like, let's go, it's time. And I was like, okay. And then the promoter's looking at me, go ahead, go to the ring, get started. And Warrior, he looked at me and said, Lolly, sit the fuck down. I looked at him and he went, sit the fuck down. Okay. And then they just start screaming at him, go to the ring, we gotta start. And then you could hear the people boom, 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 putting the beating on the floor and stuff. The arena's rocking, dude, they're ready for it.
Right.
And man, it's like now 7:10. And they're screaming, now they're actually not screaming at Warren, they're screaming at me. Go to the ring. And Warren's looking at me going, don't you move. Okay, I'm scared to death now. I'm in a foreign country. The promoter's screaming at me in half English and half German Austrian, you know.
Right.
I understand schnitzel and beer and all of that, you know, Donka and Ditka. And I said, you know, I look at Jake, and he looked at me like, I don't know. I looked at Greg Valentine. Valentine just put his head down, you know.
Right.
And he wasn't going to say nothing. And they didn't like it anyway, because, you know, they all got their money and everything, and, you know, Warriors being Warrior.
Right.
Finally, the promoters leave. Now, this is a Sunday night. We're in Vienna, Austria on a Sunday night. It's 7, you know, 7:15 now, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And by about 7:35, they come back into the room with one of the big, nice, beautiful Halliburton briefcases and had $100,000 in American $100 bills in a briefcase.
Wow.
And gave him $100,000. And he started counting out them hundies and gave me a big old stack of it and said, thank you, brother. Go to the ring. Brother, I tucked that wad into my underwear in my drawer. And I wrestled with thousands of dollars in my pocket. I went out and refereed the whole night with all that money, because I wasn't leaving that anywhere in the dressing room.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
And let me tell you the best story. The guys took pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And Jake, he charged 10 bucks or 10 marks or 10, whatever's equal to 10 bucks in whatever country we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the Polaroid. And he'd give me the Polaroid. And I would, they'd step up, I'd take their money, take the picture, hand the picture, take the next up, and I handle the money. When we left that night in Vienna, and he bought a duffel bag. Now, I'm not talking about a little tiny gym duffel bag, and I'm not talking about a great big army duffel bag, somewhere in between.
Yeah.
And we were packing to go home. You know, you can't bring only so much money back into America.
Right.
You got to declare that crap. Dude, I had to stand there and hold the duffel bag, the zipper, and strain to push it together so he could zip it. It was so full of money. And to watch Jake the Snake get off the plane with that great big, this is pre-9/11, pre-all that stuff.
Right.
You know, get off that plane and go through customs. I'm sweating for him.
Did Damien travel with Jake, or how did that work?
Well, he always had a snake. Like, we'd go overseas, he had a rent-a-snake. He'd throw it on the plane, throw it in the overhead bin. It'd fly halfway around the world. And then die, he'd get another one. You know, I mean, it was just Damien was an ever-changing snake. Sometimes it was a boa, sometimes it was a cobra. You know, sometimes you didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I always wondered about that, and I wonder about Frankie with Coco Beware. I wonder how did he travel with Frankie?
The bird would travel with the, you know, with the crew. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, like, it depends on where he was. Like, there overseas trips with Coco, he didn't have no bird.
Oh, so he just came down by himself.
No Frankie.
But, like, in America, he could travel. You know, he would bring, you know, get a bird. He kept a bird always. I'm sure he still got one that, you know, he goes to shows with, so he can drive to the WrestleCons and stuff.
Right.
But yeah, traveling with pets and animals and that kind of stuff. That's man, the stories of Jake. Man, he had one die one time. I think it was somewhere in Europe. And we had a joining room, and he just left the snake in the bed and covered it up. And we were getting ready to leave my room, and the maids had come in that room. I guess they were getting ready to change the sheets. And if you've ever heard a girl scream in a European language and start fussing, four of those sheets, and that big snake came roaring out. She was dead, though, but still.
Brack was telling me about a Frankensteiner incident. Can you confirm?
Talking about where I got clotheslined off one of the road warriors and took a poo in my pants?
Yeah, that was it. It wasn't a Frankensteiner. I thought it was Scott or Rick gave you the Frankensteiner.
Yeah, I had yellow tights on, and I had no idea, but, man, everybody was laughing as I was leaving the ring.
Yeah, because you want to talk about
I
stiff.
I didn't have any idea until I got to the back.
Yeah, I have heard stories about how stiff Hawking Animal used to be in the ring, and you did not want to be on the receiving end of that.
Yeah, especially they didn't like you. They were real easy with me until the end.
Right.
More of it at the end when they came off the top and I had to take the flip. There was no way it couldn't be stiff.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't, when you come off like that, you either have to come off with intensity. You know what I mean?
Right.
And actually make contact, because you can't, you're in the air. You can't control your level of impact. So you've got to make it look good, or it's going to look terrible if you don't.
Swelling of the fluid sac surrounding the brain. Contusions, inner bleeding. These are the things that our dreams are made of.
If you see BMO smiling, yeah, he's probably thinking of doing something bad. If he's laughing, he probably already has. BMO in the morning, weekdays on Mississippi's Superstar Country, Kix 96.
It's the B-Team Podcast, and we cannot thank you enough for tuning in today. Make sure you share this episode, this podcast, with someone you love, because if they're a professional wrestling fan, they're going to dig the stories that you're hearing here. Subscribe. We're going to make a part two out of this, because one episode is not enough, especially when you're talking about my tag team partner, The Dude. Lolly, you know I'm old school. You know I love my heels. To me, you know I'm all about these four fingers, man. The four horsemen of professional wrestling, which, in my opinion, set the pace for everybody. The NWO, D-Generation X, whatever faction you want to throw in there, the greatest of all time. I loved my heels. From Bruiser Brody, Abdullah the Butcher. Lolly, tell them the story about what happened to you when you were refereeing in that match between Abby and the Sheik.
You know, we were going across the country on a bus. Every night it was the Sheik and Abdullah was the last match, which was a bloodbath, right?
Mm.
So the first night, you know, I'd never been in the ring with either one of them. And they come out, well, so, you know, there's no wrestling. Abdullah gets in the ring, and as the Sheik gets in the ring, and as Abdullah gets, you know, close, Sheik runs out, and they start out on the floor, right? And they don't have, like, regular blades. They got, like, knives and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimate, like, hacksaw blades on their
mm-hmm.
And they're already, by the time they make it into the ring, and I actually ring the bell for that second, they're already bloody.
Right.
So, you know, so they get back into the corner. Well, your referee has to break them up, right?
Right.
So I'm tapping on the back going, break. And they're going, you know, break us up, ref, come between us, you know.
Right.
The referee breaks them up and walks between them, right?
Right.
Well, as I walk between them, they were bumping me. So they back into the other corner and they go, break us up, ref. And I'm going through them and I can tell they're kind of, their hands are like hitting me and not hitting me, but touching me. And,
right.
You know. And I'm not really paying attention. My adrenaline's pumping. And by that second time, they were laughing. And well, that third time as I go through, all of a sudden this big gush of blood came in my eye. I'm like, what? I reach and I'm bleeding from the head. And I look and I realize my arm, I'm bleeding from both arms. My referee shirt's all cut. I'm bleeding from the chest, the back, my hip. They didn't, every time I went through, they were gapping me.
And you didn't sell?
By the time I got to that third one,
uh-huh.
You know, they're like, break us up, Rev. I'm like, are you out of your mind? One, two. I'm not stupid. I had to sell Abdullah. We were in Gary, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And a matter of fact, two of Michael Jackson's cousins came to the event that night. Long lost cousins of the Jackson family were there. But anyway, it was this arena, and they'd had a rodeo there. And so there was like remnants of a, you know, the stalls and stuff. They had the dirt up, but they were like the pieces of stalls were up against the sides there. So Abdul and the Sheik are out fighting all over the building. And you know a shit shovel?
Yes.
The big wide shovel?
Right,
not
right.
Not the regular shovel you use in the garden, but the one you scoop the poop with?
Right. Yeah.
And there was a shovel there. And Abby picks it up, and he said, look out, ref. And I was like, huh? And by the time I could go, huh, he hit me in the back with that shovel flat. You know, he hit me with the flat part of the back, but he hit me right, even, dead, perfect in the back, in the perfect spot.
Uh-huh.
And he hit me so hard. I mean, I was trying not to cry, dude. I can start crying now. So I'm like, oh my God. I don't know if I want to do this anymore as I'm going to the ground, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, I didn't have to sell it. I was selling it. It was selling. It was not selling there.
Been hanging out with one of my favorite people, the co-holder of the Mississippi State Tag Team Championship, yours truly, The Dude. I'll tell you what, man, it's been a year, and the impact and the impression and the legacy that you left here, it's still here, dude. It is an amazing opportunity. You told me a long time ago, it is the greatest job you're ever going to have in this business. And it's true.
Did I lie?
No, it is the greatest job I have ever had.
You've been in bigger markets like me and that. there is not a better place to be, because you know people that own and run radio stations, corporations, it's a whole different animal when you can get up out of your chair and walk in and talk to the head person in charge and get an answer and walk back into the studio.
Yep.
And when you work in radio these days, you got to go through 18 accountants, 42 lawyers, 3 secretaries, you know, and a diesel mechanic to get an answer to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Today, there are people that would kill to work there.
Oh, yeah. Now, unfortunately, in our business, again, you work major markets, you're here today, you're gone tomorrow. And not because of, you know, it's just the way things work. In our business, we never get to say thank yous. We never get to say goodbyes. It's always on to the next show. Working here as long as you did.
Take keys and you're out the door.
That's it. Working here as long as you have, brother. I know you've got to have a long list of thank yous, so roll them.
Well, you know, just first off, just, you know, the whole area of Central Mississippi taking me in over all the years and loving me and befriending me and everything. There's just way too many people. But, you know, just right there in those walls at Boswell Media, there's just so many. And the entire Boswell family and everybody that's worked there with me. No, it ain't major market, but it's real radio, and very few people are doing real radio today.
Mm-hmm.
Radio is dead in so many areas because it's generic crud. And Johnny Boswell and now Melissa, they figured out a long time ago how to be a smaller market, but yet still sound good, big, and everything. They've been ahead of the curve. And I've learned so much over the years from Johnny Boswell. He has taught me, his father taught me so much. Mr. Mims, I mean, you know, Mr. Mims, I don't think he took to too many people that came through those doors, but he and I had a unique relationship. And now to have come back and seen Melissa in there every day, another generation running it, it just warms my heart. And to have been a part, you know, working for Mr. Mims, working for Johnny, and working for Melissa, now to have them all hollering at, I don't think Johnny's ever hollered at me, though. Mr. Mims did and Melissa did. But I don't think Johnny's ever hollered at me. He's given me that look. He's given me the look a few times. Now, Brett, you've gotten the look once or twice.
He's sitting there shaking his head, yeah.
But I just, you know, just everybody at Boswell Media, you know, today, I mean, besides Melissa, you know, Lisa, getting to know her, God, I moved there. When I got there, first person, I thought, oh, man, I'm not going to get along with this one.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be tough. Mm-hmm. And she turned out to be an incredible friend. And the other people that I thought were going to be great turned out to be duds and we got rid of.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and then Laura, oh, my God, sitting up front. You know, Laura worked at the pizza joint for a while. She realized right away, I need to get her, you know, this work. But, you know, she's all grown up with a family. Melissa's grown up with a family. Breck's in there to come in every morning, you know, and have Breck in there.
Right.
Because, I mean, for the entire time I was there, I still had to call him every dude, Breck. How do I?
Yeah.
And he took care of me.
Yeah. Well, I cannot thank you enough for coming on, man. You definitely.
Well, and, dude, look, no, thank you. That station needed something, and I came and started getting it together and trimmed the fat and got it going down a path. And then, brother, you've come in over the last year and leaps and bounds have done stuff that I'm so excited that they picked you and that you got the gig and you're in there with Breck and everybody, you know, it's just like me. Everybody's getting along and it's Boswell Media. I mean,
yeah.
Dude, how can you not get along with Breck?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I mean, my buddy Butch is the most antisocial human being alive here with me, and he would get along with Breck.
Yeah, it's not hard.
Breck transcends all.
He does, man. Well, I appreciate you, dude. Again, make sure you stay with us. Keep us posted what's going on. What you got coming up this weekend other than that? Are you going to be rolling back doing some football coverage?
Yep, I'm back. I got all kind of football every weekend, working, doing my TV gigs. And then I've got a full slate of basketball in the fall. I mean, it's in the spring and winter and baseball. So I'll be busy till College World Series.
Last question. You are not taking the head coaching position for the Fighting Tigers. Yes or no?
Well, if they get it up to $17 million a year, I told them I'd take it. But it's got to be $17 million a year.
And you got to have a private plane.
Jet flying, limousine riding, wheeling, dealing, kiss stealing, Woo!
Woo!
Son of a gun.
I'll talk to you soon, brother. Be safe.
All right. Aloha, my friends.
Thank you, dude.
You've been listening to the B-Team Podcast. Catch BMO and Breck weekday mornings on Mississippi's Superstar Country, Kix 96. A Boswell Media station. Listen live at Kix96News.com. To become a sponsor, the viewers and guests on the show, or for more information, contact them at BTeamPodcastMS@gmail.com.